Welcome. This is Pastor Miranda Reiser with King's Chapel, West Virginia, where we experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you so much for joining our podcast today. To stay connected, check us out on Instagram or Facebook, and you can also visit us online at kcwestvirginia.com. Now, here is today's message.
With you, Luke 24 this morning as well, verse 46, similar writing, and kind of get share two messages. I feel like the Lord gave me three or four more after I studied yesterday, but praise God, God is good. Matthew 28:18, it says, "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the ends of the age." Amen. Take your Bibles, go to Luke 24, verse 46. Then he said to them, "Thus it is written, and thus it is necessary for Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that the repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high." Let us pray. Father, I thank you. I thank you, Lord, for your word. Father, it's Lord, it's sharp. It pierces even body, soul, Father, and spirit, Father. That, Lord, it quickens us, Lord. And Father, I pray that, Lord, even today, I pray that Holy Spirit come into this service, even this morning, that your word, Father, would be preached even in power today. Father, may we hold it dear to our heart, Father. Lord, may we see everything, God, you're calling us to see in this hour, the church, Father, that it shall advance, Father, that it shall take ground, Father. And Lord, we thank you today. We thank you for this place, the ecclesia, the church, a meeting place where we're gathered today, Father, to learn of you, to dive into your word, Father, to take it all in, Father. Lord, we thank you today for that. In Jesus' mighty name, in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. You may be seated. Praise God. Praise God. Praise the Lord. It's not always easy when you start off sermon with leaky eyes and you're trying to find yourself. I'm thankful for the Lord. I don't know if anybody else is, but I'm thankful for what the Lord does and everything that He is. And I got into this passage of Scripture last week, and I as I studied and have been studying through this week, and I thought I was. Thought I had really everything laid out, and then I was just then the Lord quickened me and began to show me some things and the importance of some things that I want to share with you this morning, and I feel this will be very important for us moving forward as a church in 2025 and for people here individually as well. I've listened to a few sermons, and I listened to different people. I listened to a guy that I haven't listened to in a while. His name's Bill Johnson. He's a pastor of a church in California, and he made this comment, and it was interesting. And as I'd shared last week about the Great Commission and statistically how that, 98% of people don't share the gospel. They for whatever reason, they just don't share the gospel. So we know that, we're called to pray for the laborers, amen. So we continually do that. But, this comment that he made, he said, "Most believers have more faith in the return of Christ than the power of the gospel." And that's interesting, it's true in some sense, because a lot of times people are saying, "Man, when God gets here, man, things are going to be better. When God comes, man, I can't wait till the Lord. I can't wait till I go to heaven." I don't know. Maybe you've made that comment before. Maybe you've said that before. I probably have. I don't think I've said it for a while, but I just can't wait to get out of here. But I want you to see something that there's power given to the church today, and we have to as a body and as the church, we have to see what the word says about that. It's not man's opinion, and I want to I want to be so careful with this today because it's the Word of God that cuts through things. It's the Word of God that the church will need to endure. Amen. I hope things work out. We need the Word of God, and you know, above and beyond, you know, as I mentioned, and even praying, the ecclesia, the church will play a big part, I believe, in the return and ushering in Jesus Christ. But I believe that the church will play a great part in reaching the harvest, and I believe that's upon the church now. And as your pastor, that truly, truly excites me. But he said most believers have more faith in the return of Christ. We'll fix our eyes on the return of Christ, which we should, but we fail to walk in the power that God's given us now. You know what I love about Jesus? You know, Jesus had commissioned, and I had said it last week, that when he had sent out the 70, you know, he sent them out to heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons. And, you know, as Jesus had shared, you know, as he preached and as he declared the Word of God, the kingdom of God is at hand. And may that never leave us. May that never leave us as disciples of Christ. You know, I was listening and I was thinking about this, and I looked up a couple different testimonies yesterday. And it's fascinating to see some of the things that are transpiring across the world. And I don't know if anybody's familiar with the 1040. There's prayer groups and there's whole churches that have developed strategies around praying for the 1040. It's a latitude and longitude, and happens to be targeted around the Middle East. And you'll see that even in that area, one of the things that has developed over the last 10 or so years is what they refer to as the man in white. And that's where Jesus Christ himself has appeared to people in the Middle East. And in one account, he had a guy now that is a church planner and planning churches. He had came to a guy in Pakistan. They never disclosed his name because they were protecting him. You guys understand that preaching the gospel in some places is very dangerous. And every day for 1 month, the man in white, you know, we call him Jesus, right, would appear to this guy, and he became a missionary. And he would tell him to write this down. So he actually, every day, the man in white would appear, and he would begin to write things down. And at the end of the month, he left. And translated, it was the whole book of John. It was the whole book of John. Yeah, you know, I love the book of John. It's why you feel that? I got all that. I felt the Holy Ghost over that. It was the book of John transcribed. And from there, what he did was he knew what his mission was. He knew what his call was. He knew that, you know, above and beyond. You guys understand, in Pakistan, to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, it's a death sentence. You get killed, you know, you die for your faith. And so I think up to this point, I don't know, I know that there's been a lot of churches planted. I don't know the total number, but I felt inspired to share that story with you today, because God is, he's alive, he's living, he's breathing. And above all else, you know, he's given us his word. Amen. And I'm thankful for that. And so we see this story, and you know, I share this story with you to encourage you this morning. You know, Jesus said this. He says, all authority of heaven and earth have been given to me. Now, if we can understand just that statement, that all authority in heaven and earth has been given to him, we now in return can begin to understand that authority that rested with him now rests with the church. It now rests with us as believers. It now rests with us as Christians here on earth. You know, what is that authority that he's given us? We talked a little bit about that last week. Of course, it is to pray for the sick. It's to cast out demons. It's to raise the dead. It's to tell people about Jesus Christ. Amen. That's the Great Commission. And I desire personally for me in my own life to carry the Great Commission further going into this coming year than I ever have. I don't know what that means necessarily, but I feel that that's a responsibility that I truly have as a pastor, and we have as a church, to be able to share God's love. I want to stop here, though, because it's important. And I'm not going to hang here very long, but I want you to see this out of the scriptures, because a lot of times people, you know, how do I receive power? How am I endued with power? And a lot of times people think, well, you know, if I think about the number of people, you know, statistically, if I just to go to look at that, and I don't think that's our church. I know that we have soul winners in this house. We encourage that, and we want people to be soul winners. But if we think that only 2% of people actually lead somebody to Jesus Christ, we understand that there's a bit of a crisis in the church. Because the mission of the church is to preach Christ. Amen. It's to tell people. It's to raise the dead. It's to cast out demons. It's to heal the lepers. It's to cleanse people. Amen. That's a responsibility that the church has. We don't leave that mission. But there's something that you have to understand, and this is just real quick. I'm going to go through this because, see, Jesus left us a promise. We'll find that. Take your Bibles. Let's go to John 14. I'm going to give you some scriptures today. If you need them afterwards, please see me and I'll give you them. I'm not saying for the sake of time, but I do want to work through all this morning. Jesus left us a promise. You take your Bibles, go to John 14, 15. And that promise is the Holy Spirit. You know, you will be endued with power. You shall have power, but you have to understand that there's a work of the Holy Spirit in one's life. You have to understand that the very thing that he sent us was the very thing that he said, I have to leave so that this can come. I have to step away so that the Holy Spirit can come and live and breathe and be a part of your being. Amen. Because without the Holy Spirit, I'll be honest, without the Holy Spirit, why would you even want to be loving? Why would you want to care deeper and love deeper? Amen. John 14, amen. Verse 15, it says, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray that the Father, and he will give you another helper. Look right here. Jesus at the very point, and I want you to catch this, because to be endued with power, there's one thing that you're going to hear today repetitive. There's to be endued with power. There's a connection with prayer. There's a connection with prayer. If you hear one thing today, please hear that there's power in prayer. There's things that break open. There's things that happen when we pray. Amen. When we pray. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you, and he will be with you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. See, the Holy Spirit, when you get saved, when you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, there's something on the inside of you that draws you to the things of God. Amen. It's the thing that keeps pressing in a person's life, that draws them. Amen. That keeps them, you know, for better lack of terms, it's what keeps us grounded. Amen. I mean, so you can ignore that, but ultimately that's what's going to keep you grounded in life, is not to ignore the Holy Spirit and the work of the Holy Spirit in one's life. John 14, 26. That was 15 and 18. Look at John 14, 26. It says, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring you into remembrance all things that I have said to you. You know, I love this, because have you ever been in a place or a position where you don't know what to do, you don't know what to say, or you're thinking about something, and all of a sudden the Lord drops a passage of Scripture into you, and you're like, no, I needed that. Or no, God quickens you, or he reminds you of something, or he says, I want you to do this, I want you to pray for this person. You're like, I don't even know why I'm thinking about this person. That's happened to me a lot this week even. Just pray for this, pray for that. And I tell you, at times you begin to feel, it can almost seem overwhelming, but it's the quickening of the Holy Spirit. He's depositing something in you for you to react. Amen. So I love that about the Helper. Amen. He is the Helper. He quickens us. He moves us. He mobilizes us. Amen. Following that and understanding that's how we begin to understand, man, I have power. I have power living on the inside of me. I have a power, the Holy Spirit, a power living on the inside of me. It quickens me. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Take your Bibles, just flip over a couple chapters. John 16. Jesus says this. Verse 7 and 8. And just two more passages here. You have to understand that there's a Holy Spirit, there's a helper. He helps us in our salvation. He helps us walk through things. It says, nevertheless, John 16, verse 7 and 8 says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and righteousness and judgment. So it's to our advantage that Christ left. Amen. He paid that price ultimately for us. Amen. He went to a cross. He took our sins, our iniquities. It was nailed to a cross. Amen. You know, I feel as if today, you know, it's the importance of preaching Christ is man, it, you know, it's not, you know, it's not 10 steps on how to have a, you know, a better life today. It's preaching Christ. Amen. That we understand. And I'm not saying those things aren't important. We're big on godly character. Amen. But above all else, we need to understand that Jesus Christ is the only way. Amen. He is the only way. John 16, verse 13. It says, however, when... You guys still with me? John 16, we're still there. John 16, verse 13 and 15 through 15. It says, however, when the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for we will take of what is mine and declare it. For he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said, he will take of mine and declare it to you. The things that are in heaven. You know what God's going to do? He's going to declare those things to you. He's going to... You think about the model prayer in Matthew chapter 6. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You know what we're doing? The things that are in heaven, we can pull those things down here to earth. That when we pray, amen, that when we go to a God I feel like sometimes God's waiting. You know, I believe there are times that we wait also, but I believe that God's, you know, God's waiting. He's waiting. He's waiting for a church, for a people to respond. And I feel sometimes that, you know, I felt even as I studied yesterday, I was like, man, it's not like to beat yourself up, but it's like, if I want to go deeper and I want to go further and I want a greater revelation, I want the greater wisdom of God, I've got to devote more time. I've got to, you know, and I've got to find that place of prayer. I've got to get into a better routine, even around certain things in my life. You know, can I tell you that's from the Holy Spirit? That's the evaluation. Those are the things that the Holy Spirit will lay on you to evaluate. I'm not talking to anybody in here. That was to me. Amen. I just wanted to share with you what the Holy Spirit was, some of the things that he was speaking to me about last night. Praise God. I want to get into this because the Great Commission, you know, one thing I felt the Lord was showing me yesterday, even around the Great Commission, was one thing that was vitally important. And I want to walk you through some scriptures this morning and you know, maybe it's that you underline them, maybe it's that you remember, maybe it's that you go back to them because I think for church growth and for this house and for Kings worldwide, it's going to be the number one thing pushing forward and we're going to get into that today. So, you know, Luke 24:49, and I read it earlier. Jesus said, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. And in Acts 1:8, you know, if you read the book of Luke and you just kind of go from the book of Luke into the book of Acts, you'll find that it's kind of continuous, you know. And so, you know, Luke is being known to have penned the book of Acts, So if you're reading the book of Luke and then you flow right into the book of Acts, you'll see kind of where the story picks up about the early church. Acts 1:8, and we love this passage of Scripture. I love this passage of Scripture. It says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And that's Acts 1:8. Leading up to... to receiving power from on high. You're going to discover in the passages and in scriptures there was something that was taking place. And that's I thought, man, I'm gonna preach a message around, you know, being endued with power and the ways that we are endued with power. And and the Lord just stopped me yesterday. You know, Pastor Miranda and I spoke yesterday a little bit, and we were talking about a few things, and she made some points, and I thought, man, that's really, really good. And wasn't trying to steal your notes or steal your thoughts or anything like that. Praise God. But as I studied and I prayed, I was moved to look at one thing. What was it that drove them to receive power? And there was one thing that was taking place with Jesus, and there was one thing taking place with the church. They prayed. They prayed. They prayed. Church, they prayed. That to have a greater revelation, to have a greater understanding, to have more, the more of God. There was one thing that they were doing. They were praying. So can I show you some scriptures this morning? Because it's important that you see this, because if we're going to be endued with power, amen. There's things that we have to set our faith in. We have to set things in motion, because I believe the church is going to walk in power. I believe that, amen. And I believe those that are hungry, those that are thirsting, those that are truly willing to jump in, go after things, amen. There's going to be things that are cultivated in their life, and I believe ultimately those are things that are going to those are things that are going to happen in prayer. You know, my own testimony, you know, it's why I tell people, you know, when you're learning about prayer, get in a prayer meeting. I don't tell people just in this church. I tell other people, you know, how do I learn about God? Get in a prayer meeting. Listen to what people pray. Listen to how people pray. Amen. You get, you know, it was Brother Don and Miss Brenda, she's not here yet, but we were in prayer the other day. I'm amazed at how great God is, because, you know, I listening to Brenda pray yesterday, I'm like, praise God. It's good. It's good. And, you know, and I love that, because, you know, many months ago there were people that were like, yeah, I just don't know if I can pray. But it's important that we teach God's people. We teach the church that prayer. If we're going to grow individually, if we're going to grow, if we're going to be endued with power, I'm telling you, you just don't. I think sometimes we think the power of God is just we go plug ourselves into a light socket and we get the power. I'm going to be honest. That can happen. That can happen in our life. We you know, Paul. You think about Paul, Saul, who became Paul. He got power very, very quickly. But the one thing about Paul that most people don't understand, that Paul spent, you'll see this in Galatians 1, Paul spent 3 years in prayer after he received the power of God. It says he immediately went and preached Christ, which he did. But then Paul, you know where he found himself for the next 3 years? He found himself in prayer, praying. He found himself closed into a place, learning the. He knew the scriptures, but now he was connecting to God because he had a personal relationship. And Paul went on to write what? The majority of the New Testament. So those 3 years, those 3 years that Paul spent, you know, it doesn't say, but, you know, some people even believe that Jesus visited Paul during those 3 years. That's powerful. But he had closed himself in, and, you know, and it was that he couldn't even, what would you tell me yesterday, Pastor Brandon? You said it was 14 years? Before he was launched as an apostle, he received the power of God. We see that in Acts chapter 9. But it was 14 years before he was launched as an apostle. 14 years. We read the book of Acts like it's just boom, 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 boom. But I want you to know that Paul, to be endued with power, to walk in power, one of the things that he did was he cultivated a lifestyle of prayer. He cultivated a time in meeting with God, a time in hearing. Amen. You know, the Bible says, make your requests known. Amen. Be anxious. You know, in all prayer, in all thanksgiving, in all supplication, make your requests known. Amen. But, you know, it's important that we tap into that. We understand that. That we don't forego the opportunity to spend time with God. Amen. Now, I'll be honest with you. I like it when I stick my finger in power. Amen. You know, not in real life. But I like it. I like it when power like that happens. And it will happen in a believer's life. You know, I remember as I made notes about this, because as I thought about the Lord, pulling me back and having me focus even in the area of prayer, I remember that when I first got saved, I listened to people pray. Did you get anybody do that? Did you get saved and you're like, you'd hear somebody praying in tongues? What's that all about? You know, and you'd be like, person's praying in tongues. You know, and I was like, what's that? What is that? I don't know what that is. And so I would ask questions, and then I would go and I'd look up in the Bible, and then I'd ask questions. Sometimes you ask the wrong people, right? Well, you know, they're just out of order, you know. They're out of order in church. You know, tongues is not like that, and this is my opinion, and this is, you got to be careful who you ask, amen, you know. And because I did ask some people, and, you know, some people said, you know, and it was like, it was a big mystery. See, God's not made, the mysteries of the Lord are made known to man, amen. But can I tell you what you have to do? You have to search them out. You have to search things out. We have not because we ask not. We hit a miss because we don't ask. And so I remember, you know, like, there was something in me. You know, I was like, I wanted all of it. When I got saved, I just didn't want a little bit. I wanted all of it. I was like, God, you saved me. I get that now, but I know that the Bible, according, and I remember beginning to read John in the book of Acts and seeing these things, the church and spiritual gifts, and I'm like, God, I want that. That's how real it was for me. I want that. You know, Pastor Miranda and I got married, and I hadn't had the baptism of the Holy Spirit at that point, and I remember going to the Lord in prayer. Lord, I believe that you want things from me and you want things for my life. But above all else, I want this power. I want your power living. And you know, not, but honestly, I didn't understand. I didn't even understand the some of the things that I was asking for, but to be honest with you, I was quick to ask. I was quick to ask for God's help. I was quick to say, Lord, help me. Help me. And may that never leave me. Amen. May that never leave us as a church. May that never leave us as a group of people. Lord, I need your help. Today, Lord, I need your help. God's here to help. Maybe some of you need to hear that today. You know, no matter what, in whatever situation that could be happening in your life, God's here to help. That Holy Spirit that's living on the inside of you, you know, it stirs you up to say, yeah, he is here to help. Amen. God's here to help. You know, that night laying in bed, I remember, Lord, I want that thing. I want that. I want to speak in tongues. And within seconds, I opened my mouth. And that's one of the things about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Most people, it's in them. And a lot of times in the aspect of faith, it's to open your mouth and to allow. Get it out of your head, but it comes from here and allowing that to come out. And I opened my mouth and I began to speak in tongues. And I thought, you know what I thought at first? I thought, what was that? What was that? And then I began to pray a little more. And I began to pray a little more. And I would get into my mind. And I was in my mind for a little bit. Well, does that sound like other people's tongues? Nobody's ever done this, right? You never compared yourself to anybody else, right? I was new. I was. You know, does that sound like anybody else's tongues that I know? Or is it Spanish? Is it French? Is it Canadian? I don't. Canadian speaks English. Some of them do. They speak French there as well. But and I begin to pray in the Spirit. I begin to pray in the Spirit of God. And at that point, to be honest with you, there was a shift. There was a shift. You need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. If you don't and you've never received that, we'll pray for you today to receive that. You need that. You need that power. You need that living in your life. But I want to accompany that today, and I want to show you something out of the Scriptures in these last few minutes in the morning service. Because I believe that to be endued with power, there's something that we can't forego. I'm not saying that you can't receive power. I'm not saying you can't have hands laid on you and the power of God hit you. I'm not saying that. But I'm talking to a church that I believe that God wants to continually walk in power. That we never fade away, that the Bible says don't grow weary in well doing. Amen. That things never fade. And that's truly got to be our connection with prayer. Let me continue to show you some more scriptures. Yeah, another thing too, and I'll say something about the word, because early on when I was a believer, you know, I would ask Christians questions. I would meet with Christian businessmen, and it was something yesterday I felt like, you know, I need to do this again. I need to go meet, just whether it's random or whatever, but to find time, carve off time with people, meet with them, talk with them. It's always how you learn. But I remember asking a guy a question one time, and as you're getting into the Word, you're reading the Word of God, and I said, hey, what's your favorite book in the Bible? He says, man, I love James. I love the book of James. And I was like, oh, I need to read the book of James. I better read. He loves the book of James. I better love the book of James, right? So, not to compare, right? You're learning. And so, I remember opening the book of James. And honestly, it was so amazing, because in James 1, 2, from that point, it was like, I began to find a love for the book of James, the brother of Jesus. James was a bondservant, he said. He was a bondservant to Christ Jesus. So he served not only as a physical brother to Jesus, but he was also a servant brother to Jesus. But James says this. He says, my brother, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. And if you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, without doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not the man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. And I remember reading that, and when I read that, I was like, oh, no, you know what I got to do? I got to ask God. I gotta ask God. I gotta make my request known. I've gotta go to the source. And I remember early on, that was like one of those things that you know, if I've got something going on, man, I've got a place that I can go. And I want to remind you that today, you have a place that you can go. If you lack wisdom in any area of your life, what's the Bible say? It says ask. Don't doubt, but ask. Can I tell you how simple this is? You ask and don't doubt. And the Bible goes on to say, and I love this, and I have a greater understanding of this now than I did then. But you know, and the Bible says, don't be double-minded. Don't be tossed to and fro like the winds of the sea. Don't be up and down. Stand in what you ask for. Believe in what you ask for. I'm going to believe. Even if it's a month, or 2 months, 3 months, 6 months, or even if it's a year, I'm going to stand in contention. I'm going to believe the Word of God. I'm going to believe the Word. Amen? Above all else, I'm going to believe the Word. I'm going to believe the Word. I'm going to believe the power of the Word. Because see, if we're going to be endued with power, we're going to walk with power, we've got to believe the Word of God. And not to be, and I love this, because it has a greater revelation in my life today than it ever has. And not to be double-minded. Because you know what double-mindedness does is it causes us to be unstable. We're not called to be unstable. We're called to be planted. We're called to flourish in the house of God. Amen. Each and every one of us, we're called to flourish. So know this today. Know this today. You have access. You have access to the Holy Spirit. You have access to the Holy Spirit. You know, Jesus, if you take your Bibles, let's go to Luke chapter 3. Luke chapter 3. Verse 21. Sometimes I think taking scriptures and working backwards, and I'm thankful we have a house that does pray and has shown its people how to pray, and we continue to be in prayer as a church. You'll see in the passage of scripture in Luke chapter 3, verse 21. It says, when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus was also baptized. And while he prayed, the heavens was open. And the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven, which he said, you are my beloved Son. I am well pleased. You'll see this in Acts 1:14, when Jesus had told the church also to tarry in Jerusalem, to go back to the passage of Scripture that we started with, to tarry, to wait upon the promise of the Holy Spirit. You'll see it in Acts 14. It says, they all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the woman and Mary and the mother of Jesus and with his brothers. And it's interesting because Jesus had spent about 40 days with his disciples. He had appeared to over 500. We know that 120 were in the upper room. I could imagine there might have been even more when Jesus was there within 40 days. People like rock stars, right? The crowds the crowds will draw. Jesus didn't have troubles drawing crowds. There were the 4,000 and 5,000. So, but when Jesus left and they were left, when they were left in a 10-day prayer meeting, I'd say some left. I'd say a 10-day prayer meeting is kind of long, huh? Anybody with me? a time in prayer is, I don't pray the way you pray. I think about, I'll say this about the 10 days. I believe that they lived together. You know what they were doing? And I believe that, it's interesting because I wrote this down. You know what they were doing? They were doing life together. They were experiencing life with each other. That's what they were doing for these 10 days. They were in prayer, of course, yes. They were in prayer, but they were breaking bread. But it was continual for 10 days. It was 10 days before the Holy Spirit come upon them. But you'll find, and I want you to see this because you're going to find a pattern. You're going to find a pattern in Scripture. You're going to see it time and time again. To be endued with power, to have the power of God living on the inside of you, you have to cultivate prayer. You have to, you'll see it in the book of Acts over and over and over again. You'll see it. Amen. You know, think about Jesus in the Scriptures. You know, Jesus in Luke 6:12, verse 13, you don't have to go there, but you know, what was he doing the night before he chose his disciples? He was praying. You know, when he fed the 5,000, when he fed the 4,000, Jesus gave thanks. And after the 70 returned, what did Jesus do? He prayed. Before teaching his disciples the Lord's Prayer, he went through the model prayer. We'll see it in Matthew chapter 6 as well. He taught them how to pray. Laying hands on the little children. We see that in Scripture. What did Jesus do? He prayed. Asking the Father to glorify his name. He sought the Lord. He prayed. At the Lord's Supper, what was he doing? He was teaching his disciples how to pray. You guys catching this morning? I believe that there's a revelation for the church, and we truly need God's wisdom around this. But even as I've studied revivals and I've looked at great moves of God, sovereign moves of God, there's always one main thing that you see as a cornerstone. Christ is that cornerstone. We know that. We talked about that last week. But we see prayer as the primary motivator, the driver. It's the engine. Amen. It's faith. You know, you have to have faith, yes, but it's the engine. And listen, if we're going to be endued with power, if we're going to walk in the power of God, man, we have to not only cultivate.